Welcome back, everybody. Hope you've enjoyed your lunch. Just before I get started on the session for today, I want to let you know that next week the topic will be right-wing nationalism in Japan, the rise and fall of Shinzo Abe, and the speaker will be Dr. Trevor Harrison. So come out to that. That should be a wonderful session. And a reminder that today's topic is, has Exhibition Park outgrown its present location? And our two guest speakers are Georgina Kneedle, who is the president of the board of directors of the Exhibition Park, and Rudy Friesen, who is the general manager. And just before they come up and join me, I want you to know about two books that Gary Allison has written about the history of the exhibition and about the people involved in it. They are both wonderful books that tell us a lot about our history, and some of you will be longtime Lethbridge people who will find many familiar names in these books. They are available through the Exhibition Park if you wish to get hold of them. Just wanted to share that. I'll ask our speakers please to come to the microphone. As you come forward to ask your question, I ask that you be brief with your preamble and have a question for us, and that you also state your name when you begin to ask your question.
Diane, does this mic work?
Yep, I hear it's working. Okay. Yeah, so actually we could go to that. It's very hard to get over there, though. Oh, sorry, you have to come here in order for the audio to be taped. Okay, thank you. Okay, are there any questions? As people are coming to the mic with a question, I'll just say that I'm on the Senior Games Board for next year, and when they spoke about community development and engagement, there will be over 600 volunteers in the city that will help put on those games, and the meals will take place at the exhibition pavilion. So that's just another example of the kind of community development and engagement that does happen at the exhibition park. Terry.
Terry Shillington, thank you very much for your presentation and your information. Lots of issues were raised around our table, and I'm sure there'll be more questions coming, but one of the obvious ones strikes me that in our discussions about the environment and how we need to live with sustainability on this globe, it's obvious that Europeans have learned, have planned less around the automobile and more around concentrated dwelling and services, and so it's obvious to me from looking at this that this is a car-centered model, you know, at least that seems to be my perception, that it assumes the automobile and more involves more of the urban sprawl rather than centered city planning. And so, do you care to comment on that?
Thank you for that. And I guess my first comment to that would be to refer back to what we were talking about in terms of the flexibility of the site. To answer your question, yes, at the outset, it's designed to present the model that we currently live under in terms of the automobile and destination travel. I think that it would furthermore be designed to support more public transit depending on the location, and that's why the location of the property is so important. And the other thing that I think is a challenge for us in terms of the type of business that we do, I like that centered involvement. I like that ability to eliminate a lot of traffic flow and transportation to and from an event. The challenge that we have in our industry is that in order for that to do that, you've got to be in close proximity to a whole bunch of people. In today's world, that whole bunch of people does not want to be around a whole bunch of cows and horses a whole bunch of the time. And so we have to try and find a balance where we're, and you know, that's one of the reasons why, probably one of the preliminary reasons why we, so many of us are relocating, is that a lot of us are being forced out. We were there first. Urban sprawl encroaches on us and says, we don't like your smell. So there's a balance there, but it's a very good point.
And perhaps if I could address it as well, that's one of the reasons we're looking for partnerships and synergies so that it becomes a multi-use complex. It would be great if grandma, while she's doing her aerobics in the pool, dropped off the kids beforehand so that they can play their lacrosse game or perhaps participate in their gymnastics. And yet across the way is the husband who's participating in maybe some of the meetings or some of the sessions going on. If we could have a multi-use complex where it becomes a destination people go to and then spend the better part of their recreation and some of their community involvement and their business, that could be an ideal.
Okay.
I'm Trevor Page. Thank you, both of you, for your presentation. You did mention the words cost and who would be paying for it, but then you didn't say anything else about that. So my question is, what is your current cost estimate, and what are your thoughts on who would be paying for it, or how it would be paid for? Thank you.
So the costs in today's dollars are about $90 million to build the type of complex that we, that our consultants, that when we look at other cities and communities of similar size, what they need. So what we've done is, you won't be able to dig in the ground immediately. So that's where we have been saying, you know, by the time 2011 rolls around, it would be about $120 million. And that's just using inflation factors that are existing right now. So of that $90 million, we are looking for a four-way split. We figure a good portion of that, a quarter of that, should come from us, the exhibition itself. We were hoping for a quarter of that contribution to come from our own municipality, our host municipality, and perhaps some of the neighboring municipalities. And then the two last quarters would come from the provincial government and the federal government. And all indications from both provincial and federal government is great project. They can see a real need for it. They'd like to get on board. They won't get on board until we and our host municipality have stepped up. So that's what we're looking at.
Good afternoon, folks. I'm Bill Brown. I have a series of questions, and I'll just pose them because I think you can answer them in some sort of sequence. My first question that I don't seem to get answered. Can you hear it now? The first question that I don't seem to be able to get an answer to is, who is this exhibition board? What is their mandate? What is the legislation that covers them? How were they founded? And what basically is their purpose? It was always my understanding that it was agriculture, and now it seems to be everything else. How is the taxpayer involved in this? How much of the revenue is from gambling? And how much gambling goes on out there? When they tell me that it's an industry, and I've heard it said a couple of times here, isn't industry something that private enterprise looks after? Are we really setting up something here that's competing with private enterprise and competing with the services that the city provides?
Okay, I'll try to flow through logically, and if I forget, please put me back on track. Lethbridge and District Exhibition is the fourth oldest exhibition association in the province of Alberta. It was founded in 1897, before this province was a province. When this province became a province, our Agricultural Society in Lethbridge was brought under the umbrella of the Agricultural Societies Act of the Province of Alberta, which is our jurisdictional body to this day, and we report to the provincial government's Department of Agriculture in our activities. The next question was, Madam Chair. Our board of directors, we are a nonprofit community-based organization. As such, we are governed by a board of directors, which is elected by our membership. We have a mandate to provide service and economic benefit to the community in the areas of agriculture, education, tourism, recreation, and culture. Those are the components of our mandate. And I think that what you'll see as you grow and evolve as a nonprofit organization, reflecting your community back to itself. At different times in our history, we will have focused on different areas of our mandate in order to accommodate what we felt the community needed.
And I want to know how much money comes directly from the council.
And in terms of tax revenues that we see, we receive a provincial government grant annually in the amount of $380,000. A portion of it is dedicated to meeting a minimum agricultural program commitment. $100,000 of that is tied to agricultural programming. The other $280,000 is just an operational grant with no strings attached to it, and that money flows from the gaming department, the provincial gaming department. As well, we currently receive a grant in the amount of $65,000 annually from the city to assist us with repair and maintenance type of activities in the park. To the question of industry, I think in terms of reflecting the community back to itself, all the activities that we've always undertaken as an organization have been done to complement the community, not to compete in the community. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to fulfill a need in the community that currently doesn't exist. If these facilities were profitable to the extent that there could be a lot of money made by private enterprise in this business, then you would see a lot of people that would be in this business, and there aren't. And as such, we continue to provide that service in the community. So in terms of the gaming, like I said, the grant, the $280,000 annual grant flows from the gaming department. As well, when gaming was sort of taken away from exhibitions a number of years ago, they grandfathered our fairs so that for the 7 days during when Whoop Up Days is taking place, we're pooled in the revenue from Casino Lethbridge, and just depending on how the pool performs, we get the gaming revenue for that week. It totals anywhere from about $75,000 to $100,000 a year. And the operation of the Racing Entertainment Center at Exhibition Park is not produced by the exhibition itself. It's produced by the Rocky Mountain Turf Club, who leases the race. It's a private organization that leases the race facilities from us, so we do not directly get gaming revenue from Bullies. However, they do pay us approximately $250,000 a year in lease payments to utilize those facilities.
Bob Anderson. I have a whole bunch of mixed feelings about what I've been hearing you say. It seems like you're looking for a big space, largely for agricultural purposes, machinery and animals and stuff like that, which is, I guess, what one exhibits in an exhibition. But then you're trying to make it plausible or feasible by putting almost everything out there except a school. You're a hotel and ground and a spa and curling rinks, skating rinks, all that sort of stuff. It seems to me that you're just sucking all of that out of the core of the city. You're sort of another Costco, Walmart phenomenon in that sense. Certainly the downtown area isn't going to benefit from what you're doing. Some of what you want to do out in the wide open spaces with animals and big machinery and so on probably is sensible, but you're trying to pull in everything to make it almost a fully self-contained operation where everything happens, and I lose you at that point.
That's a fair comment, and you do start to paint the picture of a real destination or a real center that contains everything. I should maybe qualify that that public partnership zone is not an area where we want to build hockey rinks and all those sorts of things in order to help fund our business. It's an area where we want to accommodate that sort of thing if there's a desire to have it there in terms of utilizing the support services that we already have, like parking and the other amenities. So it would be something that would be sharing our facilities, but not necessarily something that we would get direct benefit from. Also, in terms of the revenues and our commitment to agriculture, a lot of things that we do to service our mandate are ends activities, and a lot of things that we do to service our mandate are means activities. If you remember when Georgina was talking about the economics of our organization, there's only a couple of things that we do that we profit from. The other things that we do, we pay back into. So we need to have some things that generate revenue for us to do some of these other things. And so we try to strike that balance. And one of the things when we want to expand our trade show areas and the support amenities around those trade shows, it's because the more revenue that those provide to us, the more we're able to enhance those other types of activities that we do that create value in the community.
Hi, I'm Patty Johnson, and thank you for your presentation. Can you hear me? I'm a new resident to Lethbridge, and having spent the last 40 years in Edmonton and Sherwood Park, I've really, through your presentation, it really reminded me how you were, it felt like you were just taking everything to one corner of Lethbridge. And I can tell what the... one of the things that I know that different venues in the northern city where I came from, like West Edmonton Mall, and they took away a lot of small businesses. And I know that you're not going to go into West Edmonton Mall, but there's a piece of the community that was lost. And this, to me, doesn't sound like community, you know. And you're I know you need... agricultural and the exhibition grounds, new grounds for that. But when I hear about the festivals and I hear about the recreation, that kind of concerns me, because if they're sprinkled around Lethbridge, it doesn't zap some life from the communities. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but living up there, that's what was a problem. And I know that the market, for example, in Old Strathcona in Edmonton, is in the old bus barns, and it's a hive. It's just a hive of people on a Saturday, and nobody is saying that that building needs to be torn down. And so just recycling some of these buildings, I'm wondering, can stay and keep this community vibrant, because it's a beautiful community to come to. Thank you.
Thank you, and I certainly can hear what you're saying. What we're trying to build is some facilities that are going to provide a venue for events that are not happening in Lethbridge. It's not happening. There is not the room downtown to have the multi-use skating complex. And when you talk to hockey moms and dads and hockey grandparents, and you talk to them having to drive out to the Raymonds and the McGraths, because that's where they're finding ice time, they would love to have ice time perhaps anywhere in the city. But for them to start pooling all the money to build a facility, to have then a swimming facility 10 blocks over, to then have a farmer's market another 20 blocks over there, where they all have parking, and they all have concessioning, and they all have meeting space, or some kind of little rooms where people can, whether it's changing or discussing, it becomes very, very expensive. And in speaking with even our local Chamber of Commerce, she said, we're probably a good 20 years behind other communities that have grasped the concept. I'm sorry if I'm speaking a little blunt here, but grasp the concept. We need some synergies. We can't be doing this individually here and there and everywhere. It's just they can't afford it. They can't afford the operating costs of it. They can't afford all the servicing amenities that come with that particular venue. So we need to find some synergies. And if somehow I could make that all happen, if we could make that happen on our existing site, we've looked at that. We've looked at building up. We've looked at digging down. We've looked at going across the highway into the county, overpasses, underpasses. We've brought in the engineers for flyovers. How do you land parking? Could we shuttle parking back and forth? Could we perhaps operate on two or three different locations? And every time, and I guess it does boil down to numbers, and I wish it didn't. And every time it becomes extremely cost prohibitive, unless somebody with very deep pockets, or many, many of you want to dig in your pockets to make that all happen. But the numbers, the economics of it just aren't there. So that's why we end up looking at sort of a multi-use, multi-synergy type of footprint. If the dollars were there, we would try to do it on multi. We love where we're at. It's just... It's become uneconomical.
Hey.
Thank you very much, Barbara Warren. I'm just going to change the pace a little bit. What I want to know from you is, what do you think would happen to the present site? Who could or would use it?
Thank you for that question. it's a question that we've asked, and it also ties into dollars, and it's a question of curiosity that our board of directors has surmised about for a long time. There is a cost expectation that we place on the municipality and its taxpayers to support this expansion, but nobody anywhere has talked about the value of the real estate on which we currently exist. That is 63 acres of mostly prime real estate adjacent to Henderson Lake. Who could exist there? There are lots of opportunities and lots of discussions that we've heard around town. Everything from expanding the Henderson Lake Park by another 63 acres and consuming the site that is currently the exhibition in amongst with the park, a possible expansion of the golf course, high-end condominiums along the lake, along Henderson Lake, an opportunity to open up residential lots along Henderson Lake for the first time in 100 years. The land is owned by the city of Lethbridge. We lease it from them for a dollar a year. And in terms of the zoning, it's a unique zoning for us, and I don't know if I can translate it into, pardon me, I'm from Saskatchewan, and I haven't looked at the legislation for Alberta. Maybe Mr. Dow can help me. But it's a zoning that is for agricultural use, and it includes a component in there that's somewhat similar to that of auction marts, where you make provision for transient livestock. That's the type of zoning that we have on our site currently.
Hi, Ian McKenna. Heard the word growth a lot, and I've been growing too much myself, actually, over the years. And I'm just wondering, you know, if growth really is appropriate here. We can see from the corporate world what growth does. You know, you get the Walmarts, and then they take over, so on. And the image I'm getting is that these facilities in Lethbridge can be provided, you know, either as one of the questioners suggested, you know, by different people, you know, smaller groups and so on in their own parts of the community, or do we go to this sort of multi-group? And so I started to think, well, who are going to have the power here? You know, presumably the board of directors of the exhibition will have more power as you grow, as more money from the province, the community, the federal government go into, you know, that particular sort of group. And I guess I'm sort of maybe speaking then on or questioning on behalf of those who want a concert hall or who want changing rooms up at the sharing sort of place and so on. We're competing for dollars, and I'm not necessarily convinced that putting vast sums of money in the hands of relatively few people who are going to be, I think, deciding, you know, what the exhibition is going to do. I have some anxiety about that. And I guess my question is, do you?
Well, I'm going to let Rudy speak to this, but please, anybody in the room who would like to become a member, it's $25. And from that membership, you, with that membership, you can come and voice some concerns and interests, join our annual meeting, and better yet, let your name stand and come and sit on our board. That would be absolutely wonderful. We need more people with more opinions and energy and creativity and network within the community to guide us. All we are is a board of people made up of, well, I mean, there's a good number of you I know in this room, just everyday people who have a passion for their community, and we have chose to sit on the board. So you are all very, very welcome. And we do have, yes, that's right, thank you, Diane, city council representatives and county council reps that are appointed to our board.
And just maybe if I could, two different ways to respond to your question, sir. First of all, it's my understanding that the alternative to growth is not the status quo. Either we continue to grow or we continue to decline. So maybe
evolution.
Yeah, and maybe and the evolution is a good point. So under the current model, we would continue to decline as we've demonstrated. So we can evolve, and I think that speaks to maybe the root of our existence and down to the fundamental question at stake here: is there a value in our organization being in the community doing what we're doing? I don't know. Do you want to whoop up days? Because that's part of the evolution on the site. I mentioned about the gaming revenue flowing to us for the week of the fair as a part of the government's contribution. If you take that gaming revenue, if the government decides tomorrow that gaming revenue from Whoop Up Days will not flow and we have to be sustainable on this site, one of the first decisions in front of the board of directors will be the fate of Whoop Up Days, because without that gaming money, it loses about $120,000 a year. They feel a need to put it on for the community. And so they asked me to do that, and I'm happy to do so. In terms of the growth, you make a good point, sir, about this Walmart big box concept. But I'm certainly confident that's not what we're talking about in terms of growth, and that's not what we're talking about in terms of multi-use. What we're talking about is being able to be sustainable in our own right, so that we can continue to give back more and more and provide more value to this community. And if you look at growth, again, I will use the example of our neighbors up the road in Red Deer. Arguably, give or take in terms of square footage, they're three times the size of Exhibition Park in Lethbridge. They're not a dinosaur in the city of Lethbridge. They're not pushing people around and doing what they want to do. All that they've accomplished by being three times our size is providing a neighborhood where they're contributing in excess of $120 million in economic benefit to that community annually.
I just wanted to comment. I'm sorry, I'm not at the mic.
Sorry, we can't hear. If you come forward.
I'm Leonard Haney from Victor Butte, a farmer. There's been a discussion here about growth. You know, my parents happened to be married in 1912, and to celebrate that wedding, they went to the Dry Farming Congress. It was mentioned here a while ago. And my mother never quit talking about the Dry Farming Congress. It was really something. It represented growth at that time, and we are still growing and will continue to grow, and I'm very much in favor of the kind of presentation that we've had here today.
Hi, I just wanted to make a comment on your referring to Red Deer. I really think it's an unfair to refer to Red Deer here, because it's smack, as you know, geographically between Calgary and Edmonton. And I believe that they get a lot. I have been there myself. Well, it's halfway, let's have it in Red Deer. And so a lot of conferences are held in Red Deer because it is halfway. We don't have that advantage here.
Yeah, I certainly wasn't using the reference in terms of a comparative analysis of our ability to perform as they do. I was using it just as simply as an example of growth and what it looks like. And I think if you look at the Red Deer example, it demonstrates what growth looks like. And I could have used other examples, Camrose Exhibition and Lloyd Minster and others, but I chose that one because it's a similar size community. And just to comment to the gentleman that came up here with the growth, I love the World Dry Farmer Congress story. That's what we're about. That's what we've been about for 110 years, and that's the first time in 3 years of doing this that anybody that I think has ever stepped up to the microphone and had a comment like that. Thank you, sir.
My name's Dwayne Pendergast, and I have some questions from Jack Dick. He wants to know, where is the exact location? How large is the property? Is it secured at present? And how much might it interfere with air traffic, or how much might the air traffic interfere with your site?
Thank you. I apologize. I didn't bring the map in this presentation to show you clearly the location of it. But if you go from Evergreen Golf Course straight south on that grid road that is 58th Street, all the way down to McNally Road. The quarter section is right on that corner of McNally Road and 58th Street, approximately a mile east of the airport. So that represents the immediate southeast corner of the city limit. With easements taken away from it, the quarter section represents to us 156.74 acres, and it is owned outright by Exhibition Park, paid in full. And currently, the title belongs to Exhibition Park. I'm sorry, I forgot that piece. That's a great question about the airport, because it is in the zone. They typically do a development zone around airports, and as you get further and further away, you have less and less restrictions. I can't remember off the top of my head what level of restriction our property is under, but it is not any restriction to our development in terms of the height of the buildings that we would have for an exhibition, for example.
I wanted to address there was a gentleman that had asked about or kind of likened this perhaps to a Walmart-type facility. Just a couple notes on that. One is one of the reasons I absolutely love Lethbridge and District Exhibition Park is because we can do what businesses are not doing for us. Businesses are very much driven by profit. And yes, we need cash flow too. But we... if there isn't a business case for a particular community event or a festival or a show, then it doesn't happen because people don't want to lose business, and typically. We, however, have been there for 110 years, and that's exactly what we do. Is perhaps there's not a business case for us, right? We host, we have five or six different income streams, and then we turn around with all that money and we put it into subsidized community events that private business don't want to pick up, they don't want to provide. And I think that's why I love Exhibition Park so much, because we are there subsidizing a lot of community events and forums that business won't do. And we do it well because it's usually on our grounds. We have 300 volunteers that love working with us. All that coordination and that administration, that's all there. So we can make some of these community events happen. Also in regards to the big Walmarts, on the west side, the schools are being built. There's some synergies happening there where they're sharing on sites, they're sharing some infrastructure, and they're making a great thing happen over there. This would be something similar. It's not education, but it is in regards to culture and recreation and tourism and agriculture, very much part of our community. That's what we're trying to do. Well, I guess right now our stakeholders are telling us, please do that towards the south end of the city. So that's what we're trying to do.
And this will be our last question.
Knut Peterson is the name. Thanks very much for coming on short notice to do this presentation. My question is, where does Bully and the racetrack fit into this whole thing?
That's a question that we often get, and it's a challenging model for us being in business with a private operator that's leasing that facility with us. And the motivation there is a profitable motive in terms of the gaming. That said, whether it's Rocky Mountain Turf Club running the race facility, or if in fact we were back with the old model where the exhibition would be running it, there's no rush at this stage of the game to see the racetrack move all at once with the exhibition or the other exhibition facilities, because there's a couple of big questions that have to be answered before we would get into that. The first and most important question is, what is the province of Alberta's commitment moving forward through the Horse Racing Alberta program to continue to have funds flow to support the program of live horse racing? That's the first question. The second question is the province of Alberta prepared to continue to support the connection between the gaming revenue and the horse racing enterprise, thus making it further sustainable? Whether you're a private operator or you're a nonprofit exhibition association, you're looking to have those questions answered before you invest the significant infrastructure dollars in a race facility that is just not sustainable without that support.
Please join me in thanking Rudy and Georgina for a wonderful session.
Sure. And I just want to take a second to thank you all very much for providing us for the opportunity. As you can appreciate, I'm paid to be at the exhibition every day. Georgina is not. She's a volunteer. So I hope her participation clearly demonstrates her commitment to this community and the organization, and we both really appreciate you giving us this time and listening to us. Thank you.